Gifts have been opened. I guess I opened my last gift this morning. Hallelujah. It was something I really wasn't expecting. Reese's peanut butter cups. All right. Let me ask you, did you get what you wanted? Did you? Did you want what you got? You know, sometimes we get things we're not real excited about. You know, people who really don't know us will give us things. You know, like Santa Claus socks, and you know, where are you going to wear Santa Claus socks? I mean, come on, At bedtime? Well, yeah, I do wear socks to bed. Personal confession, folks. I'm cold. Yes, my feet are cold now. You know, and I've got socks and shoes and everything else on. It's just one of those things. Anyway. That's it, TMI. Way too much information for you all. Thank you. But we've had a wonderful year here at ECBC, and the way that God has really blessed us. We've seen people baptized. We've seen new members. We've seen church growth, new ministries, missions outreach. We've seen all of these things. And I think one of the reasons that we've seen the Lord bless us is because we really do have a firm foundation, what we sang on this morning. And as I think Lydia started this morning, God's good all the time. All the time. God is good, right? I mean, He is good all the time. So as we begin the new year, I think we need to look at our foundation. Really, what's it all about? Because Psalm 11:3 says, where the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations are crumbling, folks, that's why you remember when Jesus said about the man who built his house on sinking sand and the other one built his house on the rock. Well, we need to be sure our foundation is secure. The Apostle Peter, when he was writing to Christians, said this, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. In other words, what Peter was saying is what I echo here, and that is, I'm going to continue to say things, and you think to yourself, wait a minute, Pastor, didn't you just say that 3 weeks ago? Yeah, I may have said it 3 weeks ago, but it's worth repeating. And it's worth repeating over and over again. Peter wanted to make sure that the Christians didn't wander from the truth. And it's real easy nowadays to wander from the truth. When you look at, when you become a a bedtime Baptist, and you decide, well, you don't really need to go to church this morning. We'll just turn on Joel, or we'll turn on David, or we'll turn on Jack, or turn on one of these programs, and we'll just sit there. Folks, Hebrews 10:25 says, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But much more as we see the day approaching. Folks, it's getting darker and darker and darker in our society, in our world. And we need to be after the business of the Lord. So I'm going to keep on saying things that you have heard before. Because we build our lives and we stake our eternity on the truth of God's word. You see, nature forms us, but sin deforms us. Schools inform us. Prisons reform us, but only Christ can transform us. Amen? So in Christ, we have become new creations. Paul said in Ephesians 4:24, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, He becomes a resident in your life, right? He is there. But He wants more than to be a resident in your life. He wants to be the president of your life, right? He wants to be in charge. See, a Christian's not somebody who becomes nice. A Christian becomes new. There's different. Christian's not like a tadpole that becomes a frog. You know, he goes through all these different changes, but basically the same creature. That's not what Christians are. We're more like a frog who's been received a kiss from grace. From the Lord Himself, and we've become royalty. Children of the Most High God. Princes and princes. Wow! We're royalty. You know, we ought to act like who we are, don't you think? We ought not be ashamed of who we are. We don't turn over a new leaf. We turn over a new life. We become new. We're changed radically and dramatically. Paul said in Ephesians, "For you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live like the children of light." In other words, live like who you are, not who you were, who you are. So how do we accomplish that? How are we changed from darkness to light? Well, Peter said, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere silver or gold, which would lose its value." And then he goes on. He says that we are changed by the sacrifice of Christ. It says, "It's with the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." And the writer in the book of Hebrews says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without it, you cannot be forgiven. I read about President John Adams, our second president, and he criticized Christianity because he said it was a bloody religion. With all of its wars, with its frequent mention of blood and the bloody death of its founder, Jesus Christ. And I got to thinking, what is it about the blood, which we normally think of as gross when we see it, that has caused Christians in every generation to actually celebrate it? I got to looking, doing a little research, about hymns and songs that have been written about the blood of Jesus Christ. Have you been to Jesus? We just sang one. Are you washed in the blood? How about there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb? How about the blood will never lose its power? Oh, I love that song. In fact, I found that there were over 70 different songs or hymns that spoke of the blood of Jesus Christ. So why is it so special? Well, I want to give you six things, so if you want to write them down, that the Bible says will help us see why the blood of Jesus Christ holds such a special place in the hearts of believers. And here's the first one. We can gain bold access to God in worship and in prayer. We can gain bold access to God in worship and in prayer. You see, the Bible's very clear. Every person born on this planet is alienated and separated from God because of their sin. That Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, "You were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions." I mean, even the best of us were in that condition. I mean, you could have given to the shoebox ministry. You could have gone caroling. You can tithe. You can teach. You can preach. You can do all of those things. But because of our sins, at one time, we were all alienated from God. Every one of us. But you know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:19, we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. See, as Christians, we can have boldness and confidence as we approach God with our prayers and in our worship. Because we are no longer far away from God. As Christians, Paul said, "Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been made near by the blood of Jesus Christ." Because of the blood, we can cast our cares on him, right? That's what Peter said. Give all your worries, give all your cares to God because he cares for us. You know, I say this all the time, but had you been the only person on this earth, God would have done the very same thing he did. And he would care for you the way he cares for every one of us. Because of the blood of Jesus, we can pray anytime, at any place, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Ephesians 6, "Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." We're supposed to be a praying people, right? That, I think, is one of the things that we lack as Christians generally, is our prayer time. And folks, if we are not praying people, we are defeated people. We need to pray. Because of the blood of Christ, we don't even need an intercessor. Isn't that amazing? First John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, John said, when we sin, we have an intercessor. We have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He's Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. Wow. So we can have bold access to God in prayer and in worship. Secondly, we can have forgiveness of our sins. Forgiveness of our sins. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. Because of Christ's shed blood, God's able to forgive us of our sins and to give that punishment that we deserve to Christ. In fact, Jesus explained that to his disciples during the Last Supper, which we will celebrate here at the end of our service today. He said in Matthew 26, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. He was telling his disciples that just like the blood of the lamb that was slain in Egypt to get away from the terrors of Egypt, Christ's own blood will deliver the people who were covered by it from judgment. Wow, what a wonderful thing that is. I don't think there's any better way than to express it than it was in the hymn, Nothing But the Blood. What can wash away my sins? Class? What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other font I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. See, if you're a Christian, Christ has cleansed you from your sin with his precious blood. Praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. So we have forgiveness of our sins. Number three, our consciences have been cleansed. Our consciences have been cleansed. We have a clean heart and a clean conscience because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:14 says, just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sin, sinful deeds, so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Folks, that's an amazing promise. Christ cleansing our consciences from sin. That's wonderful. So how does he do it? By his blood. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because on the cross, he offered himself unblemished to God. He offered himself, his perfect life, as a sacrifice to God for us on account of our sin, not his. Every drop, that blood that he shed should have been my blood. It should have been your blood. Every agony that he suffered should have been my agony. It should have been your agony. And he's the only one who can cleanse our consciences by his blood. Even though our minds have been corrupted by sin, Christ can cleanse them. We're able to live right. And we're able to think right. And folks, that's great news for people who have a problem with a sinful past or corrupted practice, things that you know you're not supposed to be doing, but you still do them anyway. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, number four, we are progressively cleansed from daily sin. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Now, remember, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for how many sins? For who? Everyone, right? All of them. Past, the ones today, the ones in the future. He died for them all. Someone had asked me, someone very close to us had asked us one time, well, how could he do that? I 2,000 years ago, I hadn't committed one sin. Had you? Anybody here 2,012 years old or something like that? No. You hadn't committed any sins because you weren't here yet. So when Christ died for the sins of the world, he died for every sin. Wow. Hebrews 13:12 says, Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. We are forgiven for our sin. Because folks without holiness will never see God. You know that, don't you? You nod your heads because it's true. Hebrews 12:14 says, work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. So after we're forgiven of our sins, and after we enter into this new relationship with God, he wants us to avoid sin that previously condemned us. And he gives us the power through the blood of his own Son to be cleansed from all of those things. See, back in ancient times, back in the New Testament times, you could take a bath to go to someone's house, and by the time you got to someone's house, your feet were dirty because you're walking on a dusty road. And so at the person's house, there was someone there with a basin and water who would clean your feet, who would wipe your feet. And that's the idea of the daily sin. We are cleansed. We took a bath. Jesus Christ washed us in his blood, and we're clean. But you know, when you scuffle down every day, you pick up things you don't want to pick up, but you pick them up anyway. You do things you don't want to do, but you do them anyway. And the Lord can wash and can cleanse those things from us. We can trust in the righteousness of Christ. You see, as believers, we can't stand in our own merits, can we? No, we can't. Scripture tells us our good deeds are filthy rags. All these good things that we do, and they're good things. They really are. All of them are. But Isaiah said, we are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Paul said in Romans 5, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Wow. And Christ's righteousness is how we're able to stand up against Satan's accusations. Because number five, we are able to conquer the accuser of the brethren. Who's the accuser of the brethren? Satan. And the reason we can do that is because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, I know what the devil's going to say to you. He's going to say things like, you're a sinner. Look what you just did. You're a sinner. You know what you tell him? I've been justified. I've been made just like I have never sinned. And he'll tell you of the greatness of your sins. He really will. You tell him the greatness of Christ's redemption. Tell him how Christ redeemed you. He'll tell you all your mishaps and all your backslidings and all your offenses and all your wanderings. You tell him Jesus Christ came to save sinners and that all of our sins have been covered by his blood, every one of them. Do as I do. When Satan starts whispering into my ear, and Rochelle can testify, get thee behind me, Satan. Get away from me. I don't even want to think that thing. I don't want to have nothing to do with it. It's funny because Rochelle heard me say that and she said, what are you talking about? I said, that's between me and the Lord. You know, I don't know. Get thee behind me, Satan. That's how you resist. Draw nigh unto God and he'll not draw nigh unto you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I know when I get into that situation, I always sing the blood that Jesus shed for me. I start singing all about the blood of Christ. And you know what? Satan's gone. He don't want to have anything, you know, he doesn't want to have anything to do with the blood of Jesus Christ because it continually reminds him of his defeat at Calvary. So because of the blood of Christ, we can conquer Satan. We can also be rescued from a sinful way of life. Peter said, you were ransomed from an empty life you inherited from your forefathers with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Wow. We're rescued from a life that has no meaning and brought into a relationship with God and have the ability to live a new life with new purpose, with new direction. Compared to the blood of Christ, The most valuable things on earth, like silver and gold, are reduced to meaningless, perishable things. That's because the blood of Christ gives Christians salvation of their souls for all eternity. Gives us forgiveness of our sins, as I said, all of them, past, present, and future. Gives us access to God at any time, anywhere, for any reason. I heard somebody saying this morning that they think that you ought to be on your knees when you pray to God. Listen, I'm sorry, that's a great place to be on your knees before the Lord. And the Lord did that in the garden. He did it in several occasions when he went to the ground and prayed. But that's not the only time we can pray. We can pray any old time. You know, when the guy cuts you off in traffic, you can pray, "Oh, Lord, give him a flat tire." No, you don't do that. We can pray anytime, anywhere, for any reason. And we also have victory over the devil. Now we have victory over the devil. It's not one of these days we'll have. It's not in the book of Revelation in chapter 21, verse 9 through 12. No, it's not then. It's now. Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. And we have all of these things when we've trusted in the Lord, asked for forgiveness, and repented of our sins. Paul said, if anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things are becoming new. That's exciting to know as a Christian. Whether you've been a Christian 5 minutes, 5 years, or 50 years, it's new every single day. And we need to treat it that way. Because if we're not, what we get is complacent. And we sit and we think that we're doing God a service by doing this. Folks, Christianity is much more than just this. And if that's what you think, then you need to rethink, because Christianity is a way of life. It's a way of living. It is a way of thinking. It's a way of doing something different. All things become new. We have new love. We have new life. We have new direction and an attitude. We have hope. We have security. We have assurance. All because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood will never lose its power. Never. And as we prepare for communion this morning, I hope you'll ask yourself, is my foundation sure? In other words, am I saved? Have I trusted the Lord as my Savior? Number two, is my life clean? Have I cleansed my life from the sin that so easily overtakes me? Because if you're not sure, be sure. Ask for forgiveness. Turn from your sin. Do it now. Don't wait next week, next year. You may not have next year. You may not have next week. Now is the time. Behold, today is the day of salvation, Paul said. And if you're not clean, get clean. Get clean. John said, when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as I said, we're getting ready to share communion together. The Apostle Paul gave us a warning. He said, anyone who eats this bread or drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That's a stern warning, folks. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Let's pray. Father, as we come to this time of sharing communion together, I pray that each one of us would examine our own lives, that we'd look within as the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, that we would understand that you love us, that you died for us, but that you want us to live for you. And I pray that each one of us would understand that God does not want to use a dirty vessel. So, Lord, I pray for each one of us to examine our own lives and to take care of the business that you have set before us. Just before we have communion this morning,